A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
It's Thursday, the 2nd of July. Welcome back to A Word for Today. And our passage for today is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. Now, these two verses tell us what happened after John the Baptist was arrested. We know later from Mark's Gospel that John the Baptist was arrested by King Herod and eventually put to death. But this tells us what Jesus did at that time. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." Now, Jesus there is, we've already been told, he is the Son of God, and he has come into Galilee fulfilling the prophecy that Galilee would be the first place where the light would dawn. That's the prophecy contained in Isaiah chapter 9, a very beautiful prophecy that's often read at carol services. Well, here is Jesus fulfilling that prophecy, and what is he doing? Proclaiming the gospel. That simply means the good news of God. Here is the message of God. It's the message of the Bible. It's the gospel. And what is Jesus saying? The time is fulfilled. What he means is that all that was prefigured up to this point is now fulfilled in me. And the kingdom of God is at hand, he says. He's referring to this on earth, an invisible kingdom that is entered by people, but entered by people as they do what? And Jesus' final words of verse 15 tell us, repent and believe in the gospel. Now, those two verbs are not suggestions, they are imperatives. And what Jesus is saying there, that those who enter the kingdom of God are those who do two things. They repent and they believe. It's never the other way around, by the way. Repentance must precede faith. Faith is impossible without repentance. The Bible never says believe and repent. It always says repent and believe. And what repent means, it doesn't mean moral reform. We are unable to reform ourselves morally in any complete way. Only hypocrites can be satisfied with their moral reform, turning a blind eye to the many faults that are endemic to our human nature. No, repent means turning away from whatever it is keeping one from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what repent means. So dealing with whatever the problem is, for one person it might be something very small, for another person it might be something quite big, but it will be something. A reason why you do not want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem, as we will see later in this little series this week, is not an intellectual problem, but a moral problem. The reason people turn their backs on Christ is usually a moral reason rather than an intellectual one. And then the second command is to believe. And that means to trust in, to cast oneself upon. That's the belief that is being referred to, and it's belief in the gospel. And the gospel is what we're considering here in A Word for Today. So we've been addressing, haven't we, the big question, what's life all about? And we've seen the variety of views that the world has, all of them mistaken, and we've seen the condition that humankind is in, which helps us to understand the question better, which is one of ignorance, disorder, and death. And we've seen that human philosophy can only speculate about this. Science certainly cannot provide any answers. Sociology can't provide any answers to this. No, they can only, sociology and philosophy can only speculate about these things. But in revelation, God's revelation of the Bible, we have some very hard-edged answers, which, of course, are often rejected, especially by philosophers. But we saw yesterday that great verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything, he owns everything, and everything and everyone is accountable to him at the end of time. He is the creator. We are the creature. There is an infinite gap between us. And yet we saw yesterday that that gap is crossed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He entered our creation. And he proved that by the very thing you would expect a supernatural God to prove his presence in a natural creation. Supernatural acts, we call them miracles. That's what miracles do. They authenticate individuals, they authenticate their authority, and they authenticate the things they teach. And that's what Jesus's miracles always did. And we saw how the whole Bible pointed to the fact that Jesus went to the cross. That was the preordained work that his Father gave him to do. And that on the cross he paid for the sins of his people. He assuaged the wrath of God. He wiped the sins of his people away. He didn't brush them under the cosmic carpet. He paid for them himself, having taken responsibility for them, as he could, as the perfect Son of God. Voluntarily he did that. And in their place, imputed to his people, accounted to his people, his perfect righteousness. Now the Bible says that in a way that is utterly coherent and convincing to anyone who is willing to come to the Bible with an open heart and mind. And the message of the cross is the message that we saw today, the message of Jesus summarized in those two commands, repent and believe. And the gospel promises that those who repent and therefore are able to believe, those who turn away from whatever it is keeping them from trusting in the Savior, are able then to believe through the supernatural regenerating work of God. And the Bible promises that whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will be received, whatever the past, whatever's happened in a person's life in the past. There is only one unforgivable sin, and that's the rejection of Jesus Christ. Everything else can be forgiven. But the interesting thing is that the Bible does not stop at the cross. It goes on to explain the whole picture of existence of all human beings until the end of time. Now, I want you to imagine an arrow pointing upwards. That arrow pointing upwards signifies the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. After he died, he was raised from the dead, and he lived for 40 days amongst his disciples, making very many appearances to many people and teaching. And then at the end of 40 days, he ascended to heaven. That's what the upward arrow signifies. And it also signifies the start of the church age. And then I want you to imagine an indeterminate dotted line running from left to right from that upward pointing arrow to another arrow pointing down. And the arrow pointing down indicates the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear that the exalted, triumphant Jesus Christ, who is in heaven at the moment at the right hand of God the Father, will one day return in judgment. He is the judge of all people, and everyone who has ever lived will stand before him and be accountable to him and will have to answer to him. And we don't know when he will return. When Christ was on earth, he said that he didn't know when he would return. Astonishing statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure he knows now. But since he didn't know, we can be quite sure that nobody else knows when he's going to come. But we do know that all the conditions have been fulfilled for his return. And so the return of Jesus Christ is what theologians call imminent, meaning it could happen at any time. It's not necessarily temporally near, but it could happen before even I finish speaking the next sentence. So, where are we on that diagram? Well, the answer is we're on that dotted line between those two arrows. The one pointing up signifying the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to heaven, and the one pointing down signifying his return in judgment, the end of the world when time stops and everyone who has ever lived are gathered in one place and judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in, on that dotted line, in what we call the church age or the gospel age. And I want to say very quickly that the church is not buildings, it's not denominations, it's not institutions, it is just the people of God. The church is the people of God, the true people of God. We'll come back to this again tomorrow. Heavenly Father, please help us to see where we are. Please help us to make sense of what life is all about as a result. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.